Accession number 30416, Mr. John Taylor, Reel 1. Could you tell me when and where you were born, Mr. Taylor?
Yes, I was born at my grandma's house and shop. She ran a millinery shop in Nottingham on the 5th of February in 1923.
And could you tell us a bit about your family background, what your parents did for a living, what sort of lives they'd had?
Well, my grandma ran this milliner's shop in the days when they made their own hats. She'd actually fallen on harder times since her husband ran off with the contents of the family till. And so she'd only got her two daughters working for her instead of the 12 girls that used to work. My father came back from the Great War.
Who'd he been serving with?
He'd been serving with the South Notts Hussars. He joined up the cavalry, he said, because if you joined up as an infantryman, you got a halfpenny a day. If you joined up in the cavalry, you got a penny halfpenny a day and got to ride a horse. So he joined up, and they were going abroad. But actually, it was his French that saved him, because he had lived on the continent for some years prior to 1914 and had learnt both French and German. And they came round asking for people who spoke French, because he was going to be attached to the Serbian army, where their officers spoke a little French, but no English. Our English officers spoke nothing at all except English. So his job was to act as interpreter. And so the end of the war, by that time he'd finished his service there and got the Serbian Medal of Honour or something from the King of Serbia. And he came out with the rank of Regimental Quartermaster Sergeant. And he decided to not going to work for anybody ever again except himself. So he set up with a lock-up shop and a barrow, went round the sales buying furniture and selling it. And he lived with, he married one of Emily Bohm's daughters, who was my mother. So I was born at the milliner's shop at about the age of 6. After that, my father moved into two big rented shops on Alfreton Road in Nottingham, where the business expanded, and he's selling both second-hand and new furniture. Until the, I think it was 1938, our Purchase Act really cut across his business. Because before that, if they missed one payment, you could fetch all the furniture back. After that, he had to go to court once a third had been paid. And as he'd got massive amount on the book and the war was looming up, he came out. He couldn't sell the business because it wasn't his to sell, it was rented. And he got a little shop in Sherwood, Nottingham. By that time,
So you were reasonably well off in the 1920s and 30s, you know, or rather your family were working on businesses.
It was making a loss every year, but one of the drawbacks was he had 7 children, and I was the eldest. After me, 7 came along. And so I got responsibility from a very early age, because he was going off to golf on Thursday afternoons and Sundays. My mother joined him in self-preservation, and I was left looking after the younger children. And got blamed if the fire went out or anything like that when they got back.
Now tell us about your education. Which school did you go to?
Well, education, I was quite bright, although I said it just shouldn't. In those days at the primary school, if you did well, you jumped a class. And so I ended up at the top of the primary school 2 years early. I spent another year, repeated a year, practically acting as the headmaster's secretary, running off duplicating things and taking messages around the school. I'd still got a year to do, go before the 11 plus. And so I went to People's College in Nottingham just for a year. And then I took the 11 plus and went to Mandela Grammar School in Nottingham. I wouldn't have gone because it was fee paying. But I got the All Saints Scholarship, which was given to, I think, the top five people in the 11 plus. And so the fees were paid.
And that's Mandela?
Mandela.
Mandela, sorry.
Like John Mandela.
M-U-N-D-E-L-O.
Yeah, E-L-L-A. M-U-N-D-E-L-L-A. I enjoyed school, although I was no good at games.
Now, let's do education. What do you remember about your age? Which subjects did you like, good at, didn't like, bad at? We'll come to sport afterwards.
Yes.
Obviously not a big thing to you, but...
Well, I was very good at English. I wasn't bad at maths. And I was particularly interested in science. I took physics, chemistry, and biology as separate subjects. And... So in those days it was the matric, the one before it. Forget now. At any rate, you have to pass all six subjects at the same time.
School certificate, I think.
Yes, with a distinction in French and maths.
Now, when you were still, you were there till you were, 16?
I was there till I was 16. When that was 1939.
So just before the war started.
Yes. Now, obviously, I would have gone into the sixth form. But with the outbreak of war, the school was going to relocate to Gainsborough in Nottingham, sharing a school with another school there. And we'd begun half-time education, living in digs. And I didn't fancy that, so I went to work.
Now, where did you start working?
Well, my father, I didn't have a clue what I wanted to do, but I liked science. My father played golf with a chappy, Jack Ellis, who was a chemist. He said, why don't you put him into chemistry? So he had a word with Boots in Nottingham, and I got a job in Boots Analytical Laboratory.
Assistant
analytical chemist. Yes, it's my job to go down the sewers with a jam jar and a string and sample the water and take it back to make sure there's no effluents, noxious substances.
And how did you take to the job? What do you think of the job?
I enjoyed the job at that time until one morning had been, or before that, I joined the ARP.
Well, let's go to the war generally then. We'll leave you working the chemist.
Yes.
What about the outbreak of war? I mean, there's the old joke. Do you remember the day the war broke out? What do you remember of the outbreak of war?
Well, I remember it was all sitting around the wireless hearing Chamberlain's speech about, hence we are now at war. And I jumped on my bike and... rode across to Lenton, where my best friend lived. And on the way, the sirens all went. Oh, crikey, now we're all going to be killed. But of course, it was a false alarm. And so after that...
So how did you feel about it? I mean, was it something you were pleased about, looked forward to, dreaded? I mean, what were your reactions?
Well, I think, really, it was something that wouldn't affect me. I mean, I was 16. Everybody thought it would be a quick war. The thing that affected me most was all the picture houses closed, all the dance halls closed, everything closed up, and for a few weeks anyway, until they started gradually reopening. And also at that time, because I'd left school before I went into the sixth, I was trying to get the degree, intermediate BSc. I was going to night school, and I had to go 5 nights a week. And as the buses all closed at, finished running at, I think it was either 9 or 9:30 at night, you had to go straight from work to the University of Nottingham College on Shakespeare Street. And then on Saturday mornings, I had to go there again into the laboratories to do the practical work. And I got so fed up of this, you know, at 16, all the time. And then...
Now, what about the air raid precautions? I'm not sure how many air raids there were. There certainly weren't many in 39. There may have been some as the war went on.
Yes.
Well, what did you have, shelters, or Morrison shelter, or Anderson, or any of the different types of shelters?
Well, we didn't, although my girlfriend's family got one of these Anderson shelters where you dug it into the garden. But we didn't. My father wasn't the sort. We'd got at Sellers. I suppose we could have gone down the cellar. But we didn't have any raids in Nottingham. The first one we had was about, well, being 40. As I say, I had joined the ARP.
Well, tell me about that. What were you doing with the ARP? Yeah,
first aid party. So, got this Navy overalls with the ARP badge. I got a proper service gas mask instead of the little cardboard boxes that everybody else carried.
So when did you join them?
When? This would be in 1940.
And where did they meet? Where was the base?
Well, every time the sirens went, I had to go down to the warden's post, just down Mansfield Road, get on my bike, go down there, and then we stayed there unless we were called out.
Now, what was the warden's post like? Well, I mean, what was it? Because people can't picture them now.
It was basically a shop that had been taken over, and they'd put some bunks in and got blankets, and most of the blokes sat around all night talking, but I'd not got much in common with these older blokes, and so I was trying to catch up with my sleep.
Did they have communications facilities in there? I mean, you know...
Telephone.
Just a telephone.
Yes, just a telephone.
And anything else in there? Maps?
I didn't see them. I suppose there would be a street, a map of Nottingham on the wall, of the streets.
Which area were you covering? It wasn't the whole of Nottingham, was it? It was just which bit? Just the Mansfield Road area?
The Sherwood area, yes. I lived in Sherwood. We got called out one night, for real. A bomb had dropped. And I think it must have been a stray, because it wasn't a raid on Nottingham. It must have been some plane returning home from somewhere. And it had taken out a pair of semi-detached houses. But I was a bit shocked to see all the rubble. But nothing much I could do, because everybody was dead. It was the rescue workers that they had an R on their hat. I had FP on the steel helmet.
FP meaning?
First aid party. First. I'm not sure whether it said FP or FAP. FAP. I think it might have been FAP.
So, now, what about training? You weren't called on that, but how much first aid training did you get?
We went to a school somewhere, and they taught us how to make these triangular bandages that you could fold and put arm slings on to secure arms that were broken and that sort of thing. And we had a training day, I think, once, where we got people... to do with them. how to make stretches and carry stretches. And we're given the first St. John's first aid book. And then we're encouraged to make friends with other younger people and go and practice each other's houses and things. It wasn't a lot of training, really.
Now, anything else happened while you were on duty with the first aid parties at the ARP?
No, that was the only time I was called out.
And how long were you doing it for? 41 till 40 till when?
Well, till I was 1942.
So just a couple of years?
Yes. It got me off. The next thing that happened to do with the bombing was that I used to cycle down to Island Street, where Boots had their factory where they made the chemicals, and then chemical department was. And as there'd been bombing in the night, and I'd been sat at the warden's post all night, but I hadn't been called out because it was South Nottingham. And cycling down the next day to go to work, and as you're going along Parliament Street, hose pipes cross the road, and some damage, shop windows out and that sort of thing. And when I actually turned into Island Street, which was a private cobbled stone road leading to the factory at the end of it, there's glaring open windows where the roof had gone and holes in it, and all the people were standing around outside, the tangle of hose pipes and whatnot. They let us go in. They wouldn't nowadays, health and safety wouldn't let them, because the staircase was still intact, to try and retrieve some of the records from the laboratory. And then we were sent home. And then we got notice to report to the big boots factory at Beeston. And so we went there. And that was, instead of this small laboratory, it was a huge laboratory with different sections all the way along, with about 100 people working there. And everybody had to do fire watching, except me, because as I was at the ARP, I didn't have to do fire watching. It was quite fun, actually.
So the Island Street boots, that was what, 41 or 40 that it was bombed? Or do you not know?
I think it must have been 40 or 41, but...
You're not sure?
Not sure exactly.
So from then on, you were working at Beeston.
Yes.
A bit further away.
It was. I did cycle sometimes, but then I found out Boots ran special buses. So I could get a bus outside my father's shop where we lived, the furniture shop on Mansfield Road, go down into Market Square, change to another Boots bus, and then go out to Beeston. And they got a whole bus station there. The buses used to come in from all over the place. It was quite a big enterprise. And
Now, so anything else? What about, can I ask you about rationing? How much did that affect you, food and clothing rationing? A big family of seven kids. I mean,
yes.
How did you manage with...
Well, in one way, of course, you got living off 9 rations is easier than living off 2 rations, because you pool things. And then we were lucky that my girlfriend's mother got a job at the co-op, so that was a big help. And I think my mother must have gone without a lot to make sure that we didn't, looking back.
What about clothing?
We didn't really notice clothing at that time. I think that came later as the war drew on. At the time I was, you see, I left home when I was 19 and never went back to live.
Now, what about entertainment-wise? I mean, you're a young chap of, what, 16 to 19, you know, before you called up. What would you do? You mentioned dance halls. Were you an aficionado of dance halls or the cinema, or what did you enjoy doing?
Well, I enjoyed the cinema, and there used to be little local dancers at places like tea rooms, and that was quite fun.
What were these dance halls like? Because I mean, it's not something that exists anymore. Can you describe what they were like? What the atmosphere is like? What people were doing there?
Well, that came later, right. in the war, because you know, when we were just young, we didn't go to the big dance halls like the Palais de Danse. We went to these local hops, no alcohol. So you'd either have to go to the pub beforehand. But of course, at 16, you didn't really drink. I didn't really start drinking until I was in the ARP. And my mother and aunt used to meet at a place called the Grosvenor Hotel. And I used to join them in uniform after my stint at the warden's post. And they used to have a shandy. And that was the beginning of the end.
Now, what about anything else before you're called up? You're going to night school. You're doing the ARP. You've got you're working at the Beeston factory as a chemist. Well, anything else happening?
I met a young lady, 3 years older than me, who worked at Boots. And we used to, I'd known her before she got married. In fact, we went to Doubledale on the week before she got married. She was always going to marry the boy next door. The families were very close friends with it. And then when the war came along and she'd got married, her husband was taken a prisoner of war. And so I started taking her to the Theatre Royal when Doyley Carp came. We were both very fond. We used to queue up for the gods, pay a shilling, climb up to the top of the theatre. And we saw all the Doyley Carp operas, comic operas.
That's the Gilbert and Sullivan ones.
Yes. Yes, the Gilbert and Sullivan Company used to come. Doyley Carp Company used to come a couple of times a year for a fortnight and put different ones on every night. And so we used to save up and go to see that. And then later we used to go riding in the country along the Trent Bank. Still got the muscles from lifting our bikes over all the stiles on the towpath. But I had got utterly sick of all this, going to night school and not feeling I was making much progress, because my heart wasn't in it after a day's work and everything. And I saw an advert saying men in reserved occupations, you can volunteer for flying duties.
Now, we haven't discussed this. You were in a reserved occupation. Now, was that because you of your job? Well,
yes.
You were. Sorry, I didn't mean that. But can you explain a bit about how you've been put on that?
Well, they just told us we were reserved.
As an analytical chemist?
Yes, yes, to keep the chemistry industry going. And I suppose later on they might have altered the rules, but at that time we were reserved.
And how did you feel about being, did it make, because you were getting quite near call-up age, in fact beyond it, but, were you pleased or not pleased?
Yes, I was 18. I can't remember exactly my thoughts at that time. But I think one of the thoughts was, if I volunteer, whatever happens, if they change my reserved occupation or not, at least they get to choose.
So you saw this notice?
Yes. I went down to the recruiting office and they asked me a few questions and things. And then arranged an interview, went home and told my mum and dad.
And how did they react?
A slight consternation, but on the other hand, it would be unpatriotic to refuse me. And so then I had to go, I can't remember where I went, where they gave me all these tests.
Now, what were these tests? What sort of tests?
Well, I had to write an essay for a start, had to do some maths, we had to do all the physical tests, of course. I remember the eyesight test in particular, where they put a card over my eye and you had to read all the letters. And then he said, now let's see what a mess you can make of your other eye. Closed the other eye and read it perfectly. 6-6 both eyes. So I was passed as suitable for pilot, navigator, air gunner. Now that takes me back to what I was telling you about school. I'd never played games. Brought up with two girls, the nearest in the family. Father at golf, he wasn't the sort of father that took you playing football. I'd never kicked a ball until the games afternoon at school. And then we're all sent out, the whole year group. First 22 were picked off, they go off and then playing the first team. Next 22, the captains were picking them, went off. And then the rest that were left were called the remnants, because they didn't amount to another 22. I was always in the remnants. So when they asked pilot, I thought, well, pilots have to do all sorts of coordination and skills. Now I'm better at maths than I would at games. I better go for navigator. So I went for navigator right from the beginning.
So that was your idea?
Yes. Yes, a lot of the people I met on the navigator's course had been already trained as pilot and scrubbed. But I was in right from the beginning as a navigator.
Now, so you actually joined up, what was the time you joined up, which seems to be what, February 42?
Yes, I volunteered in 41, but by the time, you know, they've done all the tests and been sent home to await, I was actually called a few days after my 19th birthday in 1942.
February 42.
I went down to St. John's Wood.